Today's Shir in Sechta Vas, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis at the bottom of the Omid at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the situation that we discussed in the previous Mishnayos, where a father gave a son property with the Mehayoyim Ula'achemisa formula, which, as we have discussed, the halacha will be that the actual property, the guf hapkarka, immediately becomes the son's. The peiros become the son's only on the passing of the father. Says the Mishnah, half toilish umachal chomish yirtza. So since as long as the father is alive, he owns the peiros, the halacha is he takes those peiros and gives them to anyone he wants. And as the Mefarshim, the Bach, explain, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we would assume perhaps that even though, as we just said, the father is still the owner of the peiros of these of this property, but we could perhaps say that his ownership is a limited ownership, and it's only an ownership to the degree that he could eat peiros, but that he could share peiros with others, perhaps that he does not have the right to. Says the Mishnah, Ho'av toilish umachal chomish yirtza, whoever he wants. Now continues the Mishnah, Umash niach toilish harei shel yarshim. Now the father passed away. Says the Mishnah, anything that's left on this property that is detached does not belong to the son, rather belongs to all the, that he gave this property to, rather belongs to all the yarshim. And as the Gemara will immediately teach us, but what is attached to the prop to the ground does belong to that son that got the property. And here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What will be the din regarding produce that's still attached to the ground that we said the halacha is belongs to the normally produce still attached to the ground belongs to the son who got the property? But here we're talking about produce that's ready to be cut. It's ripe. It didn't get cut, but it's ready to be cut. Who will be the owner of that? Many Rishonim are of the opinion that it belongs to the son. Because our Mishnah says only what's tolush, what's detached, belongs to the yarshim. But anything attached, it makes no difference at what state of the development it's up to, belongs to the son who becomes the owner of the property. However, the Rambam disagrees, and the Rosh, and their opinion is that anything that's ready to be cut, the halacha views as if it was already cut, and belongs to the Yarshim. I, the obvious question, and the Rosh himself prepares himself for this question, the obvious question is, so why did our Mishnah have to say anything that's cut? The Mishnah could have told us even a bigger Kiddush. Even if it's not cut, if it's ready to be cut, it already becomes the Yarshim. Says the Rosh, the reason the Mishnah preferred to teach us the din of something that was cut, because the Mishnah wants to teach us a different Kiddush. The Mishnah wants to teach us, let's say the father went and cut something that wasn't ripe. It shouldn't have been cut yet. But he went and cut it. Teaches us the Mishnah, even though it wasn't ripe and it shouldn't have been cut, once it's cut, it belongs to the Yarshim. But the same thing would be, according to the Rosh and the Rambam, if it was not cut, but ready to be cut. So as we just said, our Mishnah is teaching us that only Tolushin, what was already cut, if the father dies, goes to the Yarshim, not to the son he gave this property to. Mechubar, but anything that's still attached to the ground, Loi, will belong to the son who got the property. There are different pshatim in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. We're going to explain it first with the pshat of the Rashbam. V'tanya, shamnas mechubarim lulakeach, which means as follows, the Rashbam says. We spoke earlier in the perek about the following case. Again, the case that we're speaking about, where the father gives the son the property, mehayoyim ula'achemisa, which as we said at the beginning of our shir, the actual property becomes the son's immediately. The peiros become only his when the father passes away. And as we discussed, The son went, so we discussed such a situation, the son went and sold his property before the father died. So the sale is not really, as we said, a complete sale. But now the father taka dies, so then becomes the customer, the lokeach of the customers of the son's property. And when the lokeach now comes to take his property, there are payers on that property, attached payers to that property. So the Brisa says, we have to evaluate the value of those payers, and the lokeach will have to pay the son for the value of those payers. But now the question is obvious. If we're saying that anything that's attached to the ground, the Mishnah teaches us, has the same din as the ground, and that's why since the son is getting the whole property, he will be entitled, our Mishnah taught us, to the payers on the ground, so shouldn't the lokeach be entitled to the same? Amar Ula, no. The din of the lokeach and the din of the son are not the same. Lokasha. Kam benoi, kam ba'achar. There's a nafkamina between a son and anyone else. There's a special relationship between a father and a son. So when this father gave the son this property, we said that we say that the father meant to give him the payers that are on the property. And therefore, if the father dies with payers on the property, that will belong to the son. There's a special relationship between the father and son. However, in a situation where it wasn't a son, it's a lokeach, we don't have that special relationship. And therefore, the lokeach has to give those payers has to pay for those payers extra that are on this property. And as the Ritva says, what happens if he doesn't want to pay? He says, I'm not interested. But they can't cut it yet because they're not ripe. So what do? The Ritva says they have to leave the payers on the property until they're ripe. And at that point, the Yorsha will take those payers, and they're going to have to pay the Lekeach the value that they kept their fruit on his property till the fruit got ready to be cut, till the fruit got ripe. That's the Rashbam's pshat in this Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom explains the Gemara's question in the following case. He says, let's say I sell you a piece of property for 10 years, that the sale should only be effective in 10 years. We're both taking a chance. So I sell you a piece of property, and now 10 years come. 10 years from today, 10 years from today come, and the lokeach comes to take his property. And there are payers on that property. The halacha is, they don't become the lokeachs. They're mine. And the Gemara's question is, why in the Mishnah, when the son comes to take his property, do the payers become his? The answer is, as the Gemara just said, there's a difference between a son where a person is more generous versus someone else. There's another pshat, the Rif's pshat. We'll leave that for perhaps another time. Interesting tshuva from the Shvos Yaakov. The Shvos Yaakov says that the case of our Mishnah Gemara is referring to a father and a son. It says the Shvos Yaakov doesn't necessarily mean a father and a son. The same would be a mother and a son, a father and a daughter. And he actually brings a raya from the wording of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, Hoy v'data shel Adam. Why does the Gemara use the word Adam? Why does the Gemara use the word Hayav Data Shel Av? A father, Karl Abinai. Because the Gemara doesn't mean specifically a father. Adam, it's the human nature. Adam means the human. It's the human nature to have a special relationship between a parent and a child, which obviously doesn't exist between other individuals. We begin by Ezra Hashem, the last Mishnah of the Perek. Says the Mishnah, Hiniach Banim Kedayim V'Ktanim. A father passed away, and he left children who are adults and children. Mishnah is teaching us that adults and children have different needs. Adults spend money on clothing. Children spend money on food. They eat more often. You have to give them sweeter foods, the Rishayim explain. They're more finicky. So here that they're all living off this estate, the young children will say to their adult brothers, we don't want to have to spend money on your clothing. And the adult brothers say to the young children, we don't want to spend money on your food, on your eating habits. Say the Ritva and the Rashba, that the case of our Mishnah, specifically when they make these statements to each other, that they're specifically making this demand of each other. But let's say they're not saying anything, then the halach is that they do share in everything. Furthermore, says the Prisha, just because they have these different expenses and they're not willing to share, it doesn't mean that they have to divide the entire estate. What they could do is, every brother will be entitled to a certain allowance, weekly, monthly basis, whatever it is, and he'll spend his weekly allowance as he sees fit, clothing, food, whatever it is, and the rest of the estate could remain whole that will be dealt with on business matters. And that's what the Mishnah says. Hinich banim gedolim v'ktanim, ein gedolim mispanesin leidei ktanim, v'laktanim mizayim l'gedolim, l'chok mishavim. They divide, each one gets his allowance and spends what he wants. Nasu agdoilim, yisu aktanim. If the adults took money for getting married, then the children, the young ones, are entitled to the same privilege to take money. We want to get money for our wedding just like you did. Ain't shem lahem. Ela mash noslam avim nosen. Which means as follows, the Ritva explains. If the father died, and an adult brother got married after the father died, and he took out $100,000 for his wedding. So if the adult brother took out $100,000 for his wedding, the young brother is entitled to the same. In fact, Ritva asks, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? It's obvious. Why should one brother be treated better than the other brother? Says the Ritva, the Mishnah is teaching us the following case. Let's say the older brother got engaged before the father died. And the father said, you know what? I'm willing to spend $100,000 on your wedding. But before he actually got married and he spent the money, he never died. The father died. So by the time the father died, and now the wedding comes. So the $100,000 came out of the estate, out of the Yerusha. So even though there was already a commitment before he died, it was only commitment, and that's not considered that the money was given. And therefore, if the older brother takes out that sum from the estate, the younger brother is entitled to the same. But however, the Mishnah continues to say, let's say the father had spent that kind of money before he passed away, so the younger brother has no right. It may not be fair, but this is the din, to say, well, our father spent this money on your wedding when he was alive, certainly I'm entitled to the same. That din doesn't apply. That was when the father was alive, it wasn't the Yerusha. Now that the father's not alive, it's a whole different din. Similarly, Hiniach Bonois Gdoilus Victanis, the father left daughters, adults and children, and Agdoilus Mispanis is Idektanis, Vlogtanis and Zoyan Slogdoilus. The exact same concept. Adult women spend more on clothing, children, girls spend more on food. Ella, Cholkus, Peshava. They divide it. And like I said before, they don't have to necessarily divide the entire estate. Nosuk Doilus, Yisuk Tanis. Again, if the adult daughters take money out of the estate for their wedding, the children are entitled to the same. Vim Amuk Tanis, Hairayan, Nosuk Dereshin, Satam, Atem. Again, the adult girls got married before the father died. So the father spent a certain amount on their weddings. And the younger children who did not have the opportunity of getting married before the father passed away say, we ought to be entitled to the same. And shem lahem. Says the Mishnah, Zechem mebonis mebonim. There's a chumrah that girls have over boys, which is going to be the primary subject, certainly at the beginning of the next parak. Shabonis mezonis alabonim. Which means as follows. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah, first Mishnah of the next Perek, if a father passed away and he left over sons and daughters, we'll speak about exactly what age daughters, so the halacha is that we have to evaluate the value of the estate. And the first obligation that that estate has is to take care to support the girls. Then the sons are entitled to Yerusha. That's a situation where they're boys and girls. So the girls have a right to get their support before the sons do. That's girls and boys. But let's say they're girls and girls, adult girls and young girls, that din wouldn't apply. And there is no din that the young girls have a right to get supported before the older girls. So there's a difference between boys and girls versus girls and girls. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hai Godl Achi, if there's the oldest brother, the Lovish for Iksimi Beisa, the oldest son, Posh Pshat, we'll see different in a moment, that took money out of the estate to buy himself nice clothing, because he needs to have nice clothing, because he's the one that's managing the estate, and he has to go to meetings, and he has to be presentable, my da'ovet of it. What he did is acceptable. So the Miri says, it doesn't mean necessarily the oldest brother. What it means is, the brother who's managing the estate, who's going to the meetings, who's running the business, he has a right to take out a clothing expense so he should look presentable. Machloikas Rishonim, two Machloikas Rishonim. The Gemara says, Maida Ovid Ovid. Some Rishonim say that what he did is 100% acceptable. Lechatchila, he has a right to take money out of the estate to buy himself nice clothing. Others learn, Maida Ovid Ovid means only B'di'evit. B'di'evit, if he took money out, it's fine. But Lechatchila, he shouldn't do it without permission. Furthermore, as a Machloikas Rishonim, why would be a case where other brothers are being moicha? They're officially saying, we don't accept this expense, that you're spending, taking money out of the estate to buy yourself nice clothing. What would be the din? Some Rishonim say that under those circumstances, where the brothers are protesting, officially protesting, certainly has no right to take money for his clothing. Other Rishonim say that even if the brothers are protesting, that doesn't take away his right as the administrator of this business to have an expense account for nice clothing. Actually, I sort of the Mefarshim used the concept that we just learned in the Gemara to explain two concepts that we find in the Torah. One is a concept that we discussed in this Perek Baruch Shem many, many times. And that's the concept of Bechayra. We know that Bechar gets Pishnaim. We're going to learn that then again today. It's a little hard to understand. Why is the Bechar entitled to double? Say the Mefarshim, because typically the Bechor is the one that's going to be running the business on the passing of the father, so he's entitled. So he has more effort, he's putting more effort into the business, so he's entitled to the Pishnayim. Furthermore, the Mefarshim used this Gemara to answer a question that I always had. We know there's a famous Gemara, Rashi quotes it, that the Gemara says, La'olam ayishana odam benoy ben abonim. Father has to be very careful not to treat his children one differently than the other. Shevishvil miska shnei slum, the value of the ksonis pasim over the value of the suits that Yaakov made for his other children was miskal shnei slum. It was not really very significant. That caused that the other brothers should be jealous. V'yordav esenu mitzrayim, which ultimately led to the whole golus mitzrayim. The question is, how did Yaakov indeed make this mistake? How did Yaakov come to treat Yosef differently than all his brothers? Yaakov knew that Gemara. The answer is, Yaakov saw Yosef as the most talented of his children. And therefore, he designated Yosef to be the one to run the business. The one to run the business, our Gemara says, needs to have nicer clothing. That's why Yaakov bought him a nicer suit. The brothers couldn't accept that their father considered Yosef the most talented. And that's where the tzaras began. But it wasn't that Yaakov did it just because he was playing favorites. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that a brother is entitled to take a clothing expense, that the younger brothers don't have to pay for the clothing of the older brother? Answers the Gemara, Mesnisim B'Shirch. Shircha means an individual who's not working. When is the brother entitled to take that clothing expense account? When he's spending money because he's running the business. Here, shircha means a person who's not working. He's not entitled to the expense account. Tosfos says the word is not shircha. The word is shatcha, which means, shatcha, Tosfos says, means menucha. It means a person who's not working. And a person who's not working doesn't have the claim that he should be paid for his clothing that he needs to run a business. In fact, I sort of Mefarshim say, based on what Tosfos says, this is the etymology of the word shatchan. Shatran is a matchmaker. Why is a matchmaker called a Shatran? Because Taisa says the definition of Shatran is Menucha. A person comes to a Menucha, to harmony. What's the purpose of a Shatran? What's his job? To bring a couple together and they'll have a great life. So that's why he's called a Shatran, because he brings Shatra, he brings harmony to people's lives. Masnisa Besircha. Ask the Gemara, Shircha Pshita. Of course, if he's not using that expense for the benefit of the estate, certainly he should not be entitled to take money out of the estate for it. Answers the Gemara, Maritayim and Nichlu Denon Level. Even though he's not using the money to put on clothing for the benefit of the business of the estate, but maybe the brothers are still agreeable that he should buy nice clothing. It's to them embarrassing that they should have a brother not dressed well. Kamashmon, that he has no right to take our money for that purpose. Nosu G'doylem, Yisuf Tanim. Ask them, Ramai Kama, how do we understand the Mishnah? Amr Rav Yehuda, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hov Kama. Nosu G'doylem Lachem Yisus Aviyem. If the older brothers got married after the father passed away, and they took out a certain amount of money from the estate, Yisuf Tanim Lachem Yisus Aviyem, so the younger brothers are entitled to the same allowance. Avol Nosu G'doylem B'chai Aviyem. If the older brothers got married while the father was alive, but the younger brothers didn't have the opportunity to get married before the father passed away, and therefore, after the father passed away, now it's time for them to get married. They say to the older brothers, we want to be entitled to the same type of allowance, the same type of money that was used for your wedding, less like was used for our weddings. The halacha is, ain't shamlam. We don't pay attention to their demand. What the older brothers got and the younger brothers didn't get, that's how it goes. Continues the Gemara. Hiniach banos gedolos v'ktanos. Sholach le'avur ba'gneva l'rova. Yomdeinu rabbeinu. Lofso v'ochlo. If a woman borrowed money, a milva apeh. V'ochlo v'omda. V'ochla, and she used up that money, for omda, v'nissis. Ba'al lokeachav or yorushav. Is the husband considered a lokeach or yorush? Meaning the following. We know that a woman brings into her marriage nichsi maluk. Nichsi maluk means that the actual property belongs to the wife, but the payers of that property belong to the husband. Here we have the following situation. Let's say it this way. If a woman had borrowed money, bishtar, middle bishtar, before she got married, and then she got married, and she brings into the marriage assets, the nichsi maluk, certainly those assets are mortgaged to that loan. Our Gemara, as was clear, is referring to milva peh. Milva peh, typically you can't collect from a lekuach, because there's no kol. There's no knowledge by the lekuach, by the customer, of that loan. And that's exactly what the Gemara is discussing. The wife borrowed money, milval peh, before she got married. Now she got married, the nichsi maluk, the payers certainly, belong to the husband. Are those nichsi maluk mortgaged to that debt, even though it's only a milval peh? What is the nafkamina? If the husband is viewed as a lokeach's assets that he bought are not mortgaged, as I just said a moment ago, to milval peh. But if he's a yorish, I mean, in a simple case, if somebody dies and he owed somebody money, milval peh, his yorish would have to pay that debt. So we view the husband's relation to the wife as the relationship of a yorish. So even though it was only a milval peh, he'll have to pay that debt. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara's question is not limited to after the wife died. The question is, how do we look at the relationship of the husband and the wife on the nichsi maluk? Is he a yorish and he has to pay those milva peh debts? Or is he a lekeach and he doesn't have to pay those milva peh debts? Lekeach hava. Do we look at the husband as a lekeach? And since it's a milva peh, the halacha is ain't a gavim melekuchas. A milva peh does not have to be collected, is not collected from the lekuchas. Or dilma, or perhaps we view the husband as Yairishava, as a Yairish, and Allah is Milva Peh, Goivim in a Yarshim, that the husband would have to pay that obligation. Amalei, so he responded to Nina. Isn't that what we learned in our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Nasu Gedoilus, Yisuk Tanis, that if the older daughters got married after the father died, so the younger daughters are entitled to the same allowance for wedding expense as the older daughters. My love, isn't the case of the Mishnah as follows. Nisu Gedoilus Labal, if the older daughters got married to a husband, and they took a certain amount out of the estate, and there's nothing left in the estate, so the younger daughters have a claim for that money. So milva peh. So it teaches us the Mishnah, Yisuk Tanis Mibal. So the younger daughters will have a right to collect the amount that they're entitled to for their wedding from what the husband got. Obviously, because the husband is a Yairish, not a Lekeach. Says, Mar, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying, like we explained the Mishnah. Loi, Mishnah is teaching us a very simple din. Nasu Gedoilus Labal, if the older girl got married after the father passed away and took out a certain amount of money for her wedding, Yisuk Tanis Labal, the younger daughter is entitled to the same allotment. Ask the Gemara, fine. You've successfully explained the Mishnah that has nothing to do with the question that's being posed. But ask the Gemara, V'atani Rav Chiya explicitly taught us in the Braisa, Nasu Gedoilus Labal, if the older daughters got married, and now the younger daughters want to get married, and there's nothing left, they have a claim, it's a milva peh, that they could collect from the husband of the older daughter. Yisuk Tanis Mibal. So we see that a milva peh can be collected from the husband, obviously, because the husband's considered a Yairish, not a Lekeach. So it's not a Raya. What did we say earlier? Why is there a difference between a milva peh and a milva b'ksav? So I said earlier, the reason there is, because a milva b'ksav is as follows. We've said this explanation many times in our shiurim. If you buy a piece of property from me, and I owe money to somebody, a milva b'ksav, so everybody knows I owe that money, a milva b'ksav has a call. If you still went and bought that property from me, this is what a title search is all about. So you took a risk. You bought a piece of property that's already mortgaged. And then if you lose it, you can't have any complaints. Milva b'ksav, on the other hand, you had no way of knowing that I owed that money. So when you bought the property from me, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't take any risk. Then you find out about a milva b'ksav that you had no way of knowing, we can't penalize you to have to pay. Says the Gemara, this situation, where the older daughter got married and took money out of the estate for her wedding, and the younger daughter didn't get any money yet. Everybody knows there's a younger sister that needs to get married and that the estate has to pay for that wedding. So even though it may not be written to a shtar, and it's therefore technically a milva peh, it's not really a milva peh. It's really a milva b'ksav, because it has the kol, it has everybody's knowledge. And therefore, even if you're only a lekuach, even if the husband's only a lekuach, he can be made to pay for it. Dilma, that's the wording of the Gemara. Shani panosa, this lekala, everybody's aware of it. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, again, to our question. Lav haina d'sholach le'Ravim b'agarata, mishemes, if somebody passes away, v'maneach amana v'bas, and he leaves over an almana and a daughter. So an halacha, as we're going to learn in the next parak, is the daughter gets supported off the estate, the almana gets supported off the estate. And if there's minimal need, the almana's obligation to support her remains until she is ready to get remarried and collect the ksuba. And therefore, almana nisus min chasef. The estate has to support the almana. Nisus habas, if the daughter gets married, and her husband now becomes the control of the nifsim alug, it doesn't change anything. Almanas nisus min chasef. Mesa habas, if the daughter dies, and now her husband, as we've learned so many times in our parak, yashins those nifsim alug, becomes the full-fledged owner of the nifsim alug. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Achoysa Sher B'yoysi ben Chanina, Al Yodai HaYemaisa, I had such a question come to me, V'omru, the psak is, Almanosin Zonis Menachosov. Even though the husband now yashin, the Almana still gets her support from this estate. So now the Gemara makes its point. If we're going to say that the husband's status is the status of a Yairish, so as I said earlier, a Yairish has to satisfy all obligations on the estate. And one of the obligations on this estate is that it has to support the almana of the father. If we're going to say that the husband's status is only the status of a lekeach, it's no more than a milvah peah. It isn't something that's fixed. Amrabaya says Abaya, Elab the Sholach Ravin. And if we wouldn't have had this letter Ravin sent, Anan lo yadinan, wouldn't have we come to the same conclusion that certainly the husband is considered a Yairish? V'tanan, there's a Mishnah. Eilahein she'ein chayzen b'yayvah. We know that in Eretz Yisrael, when all of Klai Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, if somebody purchased a piece of property when Yovel was in force, when Yovel comes, you have to give it back. But b'chayra, that's not considered a purchase. And if somebody got, a brother, got his piece shnayim in the b'chayra, when Yovel comes, he keeps it. Two ways of looking at it. It's actually machloikus. One way of looking at it is that the b'chayra keeps his what he got. Another way is that the entire estate is again back to being put together, and it's divided again according to current value, but the Bukhara still will get Pishnayim as he always is entitled. That's one. The Yairish of Sishton. And somebody who is a Yairish of his wife, so since he's considered a Yairish, regarding Yerusha, the halacha is as follows. If I bought something, the halacha is that by Yovel it goes back to the original owner. But if I yashin something, it doesn't go back by Yovel. Here the Mishnah is teaching us explicitly that what the husband yashin from the wife doesn't go back by Yovel. Why? Because the husband's a Yairish. So this Mishnah is teaching us explicitly that the husband's a Yairish. So our question, what do I need a letter from Ravan? It's open Mishnah. Amle Rava. The hashtag the Sholach. And now that you sent this, miyadina, is it really such a proof? Amar Rav Yosef b'Chanina, bishes kuna. There's a famous takana that was made in Usha. Ish shemarchu nischusim alug b'chayi ba'ala. Halacha is as follows, as I said earlier. The woman is really the owner of the nischusim alug. But as long as they're married, the husband gets the payers of the nischusim alug. Now, one of two things can happen. Either the husband dies before the wife, or the wife dies before the husband. If the husband dies before the wife, the nuchs and malugs are hers, unlike the nuchs and barazal. If the wife dies before the husband, so the nuchs and malug become the husband's. Because as I just said a moment ago, the husband is the yairish of his wife. So why would be the halacha as follows? A wife sold the nuchs and malug under the assumption that the husband's going to die before her. But, you know, we don't control the world. The wife dies before the husband. The halacha is, ha'isha shemachar nechsi maluk b'chayi bala, or mesa, and she dies before her husband. So it turns out that the nechsi maluk belonged to her. Habal moitzim yana l'kuchas. So let's understand it. The halacha is as follows. It's obvious halachas. Let's say you have a person. In his lifetime, he bought and sold buildings. He sold buildings while he was alive. Then he dies. And his son's yashin him. Does he have a right to go back to the people that his father sold the building to? Say, you know, my father sold the building? Of course not. But let's say his father sold something that he wasn't supposed to sell. That he has a right. So if we're saying here that the wife has that the husband has a right to go back to those customers to take back the nechsi malug, he can't be a Yairish. Because a Yairish can't go back. How could the husband go to the lekuchas? It must be that he's a lekeach. So the Gemara's question is, yes, we have a letter. We have a Mishnah. That all seem to point that the husband's a Yairish. But the Tekanas Usha clearly points that he's a lekeach. So how do we reconcile all of this? Before we go further, two points. in understanding the Takana of Usha that says that a husband whose wife sold the Nechsim Alog while they were married, and then the wife dies before the husband has a right to go take those Nechsim Alog from the Lekuchas. Why? What's the Pshat in Takanas Usha? The Shach says that the way that Takanas Usha works is that since the wife died before the husband, retroactively we say from the moment of their marriage, the Nechsim Alog were completely his, and therefore she sold something that belongs to him, which obviously is illegal. That's how the Shach explains. The Tzois doesn't follow the opinion of the Shach. He explains the Takanas Usha differently. He says, the way to understand Takanas Usha is as follows. Yes, we actually discussed this concept, the subject earlier in our Mishnais. There is a concept of somebody only has a Kinyan Peiris. Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguf. It gives you a weak ownership. And therefore, the husband only has a Kinyan Peiris in the Nechsim Alog. But, says the Ktsois, even if we'll say Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguf, this Kinyan Peiris, the Takanas Usha, strengthens the Kinyan Peiris that the husband has, that he's considered the owner, and therefore the wife selling it is not of consequence. Chasam Sofer makes an interesting point. He says, the Gemara calls it a Takanas Usha. Why is it called Takanas Usha? What's the difference where the Takana was made? So he says, because the Rishonim go on to explain that Usha was one of the places that when Klai Yisrael went to Golis, where the Sanhedrin was, in the different stops in Golis. Says Chasam Sofer, if there's a Braisa or a Mishnah quoted in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, and the Tosefta, we don't have to say where that dialogue, where that halacha was said. But if we have something that we don't find in a Mishnah or a Braisa, how do we give it strength that people should take it seriously? By saying that it was done in Usha. And we know that Sanhedrin was Usha, so people will respect the rule. Elo Amar Vashi. Baal Shavu Rabban Kiyarish. As Rishonim explained, halachically, the words here are somewhat imprecise. A husband with the rice is a Yorish. However, when Chazal saw that it was for the benefit of the husband, v'shavi rabbonik l'keach, sometimes they treat him as l'keach if it's for his benefit. V'hech the tav delay, where it's his benefit, of delay. They did it for him. And therefore, gavu yovel, when it comes to discuss yovel, which I said earlier, a Yorish is in a much better position than a Lekeach. Yorish doesn't give back the asset, the property by Yovel. A Lekeach does. Therefore, Gabi Yovel Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yorish Mishum Pesed of the day. Gabi Derab Yosef Derab Chanina, and the question of the Nechsi Malug, the question of Usha, again, there Shavu Rabbanan Ki Lekeach. Chazal chose to treat him like a Lekeach because were he treated like a Yorish, he would lose that property that the wife sold. So we want to protect his interest. We treat him like a Lekeach, not like a Yorish. So ask the Gemara, Gabi Amona, what about the Amona? Gabi, the case of Ravin, where there was an Amona of the father, that we learned that the state has to support the Amona. And then if the daughter gets married, she still continues to supporting the Almana. And if the daughter dies, the husband, who yashins the estate, still has to support the Almana. Why? Treat him like a Lekeach, and he won't have to support the Almana. Says the Ramashun, the Pesed of the Almana, Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yorish. Which means as follows, the Rishonim explain. Under normal circumstances, we always would do what's good for the husband. So it's good for him to be treated like a Yorish, and the way the Rashbam explains, Midaraisa, he's a Yorish. But where it's to his benefit to be treated like a Lekeach, we will treat him like a Lekeach. However, in a situation where Almana is going to be adversely affected, we don't treat him like a Lekeach, we only treat him like a Yorish. Ask the Gemara, if other people are going to be adversely affected, that's taken into consideration, so why don't we look at the case of Yosef Chanina? But God, the Yosef Chanina, there's also Pesed of Lekuchas. The people who bought this property from the wife, that bought the Nechsim Alog from the wife, if we're going to treat him like a Lekeach, are going to be hurt. If we treat him like a Yorish, They'll get back their money. So why are we treating him like a lekeach? Why are we not worried about them? Still, Hagabir the Rav Yosef Bechanina, in the case of Rav Yosef Bechanina, Dikib Seder Lekuchas, where the Lekuchas are being hurt by treating the husband of Lekeach, and yet the Shavu Rabbon Lekeach, still Chazal treat him like a Lekeach. The answer is the Gemara, Hasam Inu Afsido Nafshayu. They themselves brought upon themselves. Why? Kivin de Kabal. These Lekuchas who brought the Nichsim Log from a married woman knew that they're taking a risk. Because they knew that if she dies before him, the deal is a no deal. Loi bar lo lemizbin mitasa, the yasva til figavra. So how do you buy next to Maluk from a married woman? If you bought it, you took a risk. And if she ends up dying before him, you lost. Then you can't come complaining. And that's why the Chazal still treat him like a lekeach. But in the case of the Amona, who didn't do anything wrong, we treat him like a Yairish. Says the Mishnah. Mishemes, v'nich banim abonis. Somebody passed away, and he left over Yisoyimim, sons and daughters. Says the Mishnah. Bezman shenachos merubim, if the estate is considered abundant, and tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will define that, habonim yirshu, the banim are yarshim, v'abonis yizoyimu. And the daughters are entitled to support from that estate. However, nechosim u'atim, if the estate is a meager estate, habonis yizoyimu, so the daughters come first in order to get their support, and the sons, yishalo apsachim, should go, and if there's nothing left, they should go collect stakah. So the Rishonim debate, two machlokes Rishonim. One machlokes Rishonim that Tosfos refers to is, what does it mean, yizoyimu? Tosfos says yizoyimu means food. Tosfos means food. Others say Tosfos will agree that it's not just food, it's clothing also. But certainly, according to Tosfos, if they're going to get married, wedding expenses are not included in mezoinus. There are other Rishonim, however, says that when the Mishnah says abonus yizoyinu, it means food, clothing, and wedding expenses when they have to get married. There's an interesting vort. It's not la'aloch l'mais, it's just la'aloch. The Rishonim debate, why do the daughters indeed come before the sons? That the Mishnah says abonus yizoyinu, that the girls should get supported, and v'abonim yishalu al psachim. So there's two explanations in the Rishonim that I saw. One explanation in the Rishonim is because it's similar to what we learned in the previous sugya. The Balei Chayiv come before the Yarshim. And the daughters, the Mezoinus is viewed as a debt which takes precedence over Yerusha. That's one explanation in the Rishonim. Another explanation in the Rishonim is a very simple explanation. If people never have to go collect staka, it's easier, less embarrassing for boys to have to never go collect staka than for girls. So I saw the Mefarshim suggest, and again, I'm only saying this as something I saw, I don't think the halacha is this way, that let's say there are sons and daughters, but the sons are Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gemara says that it's embarrassing for Talmidei Chachamim to have to go collect staka. So there, perhaps, the din would be that the sons should be treated like girls. And in fact, there's a pasuk that says, Emma l'chachma achaisiyat. If you're a chacham, achaisiyat, you're treated like a girl. It's just like we're worried that the girls shouldn't have to go collect, and that's why they boys collect staka, not the girls. Same, if there's a boy who's a talmid chacham, Emma l'chachma achaisiyat, he's treated like a girl. Again, I don't think it's the halacha, it's a nice word. Admon Eimer says admon. It turns out that we have reverse discrimination here. The discrimination against the men. And it says admon, and the Gemara will explain admon. Because I'm a male, I end up in a weaker position. I'm Rabbi Gamliel, and says Rabbi Gamliel, Roya needs to be admon. I consider what admon says to be very significant. I think that it makes a lot of sense. I saw the Mefarshim say that the Gemara says that Roya needs to be admin. The Mishnah says Roya needs to be admin. What does Roya mean? That I give it a lot of credence. I respect it. The Mefarshim say, Chayiv Odom Lirus Atzmai We say it every year by the Seder. Chayv Adam Liris Atzma Kili Yotzma Mitzrayim. What we're saying is that a person, even though a person has to act modestly with humility, he has to remember, especially if you're a member of Klal Yisrael, who you are. Chayv Adam Liris Atzma. A person has to recognize his value as a member of Klal Yisrael, as the person Yotzma Mitzrayim, that we're part of the Amma Nifcha Delev, came out of Mitzrayim. Similarly, the Mepharshim say, the Pasuk says, Uri'isem es ha'oritz mahi. We have an obligation, Uri'isem es ha'oritz, to recognize the value of Eretz Yisrael.